Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
So, Lord, thank you for who you are. As we look at your holiness today, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to see you and help us to see us more clearly. And, Lord, as we follow you, looking forward to what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had my second eye cataract surgery last Tuesday. You people are a lot more handsome than I thought. So, yeah, it's great to see you people today. And I'm a little suspicious of some of you who are wearing hearing aids, because I know you can tune the game into your hearing aid. And anyways, if somebody goes, yay, all of a sudden in the middle of the service, they're either turning charismatic or Canada has scored, right? So anyways, today we're starting a new series calling Unleashing Holy Freedom. In 1871, the city of Chicago was reduced to rubble in what is now called the Great Chicago Fire. Buildings collapsed, business vanished, fortunes disappeared overnight. But in the days that followed, something rather interesting happened. When the ashes cooled, the inspectors came and they walked through the ruins. They weren't just looking for what burned, they were actually looking for what stood. A few structures, very few, remained upright. And when they studied them, they discovered something simple but powerful. Those buildings had been constructed differently. The material was stronger. The foundations were deeper. The internal supports were reinforced. The fire didn't create the strength. It revealed it. If you live long enough, you know that life has a way of bringing its own fires. Loss, temptation, success, betrayal, disappointment, grief, all have a way of revealing our character. Can we love deeply in the middle of our loss? Can we walk in peace in the middle of turmoil? Can we say it is well with my soul, even though it is certainly not well with my circumstances? Where do we find our comfort in the middle of the pain? Do we look to our addictions or to God himself? Where do we find strength to walk through the wilderness, a dry and weary land where there is no water? Is it our walk with God that sustains us, or something else? The structures had to be built well before the fire happened to withstand the Chicago fires. And the structures of your heart need to be in place so that when the fire comes, you can claim the promises of God that says in Isaiah chapter 43, when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. The Bible has a word for that kind of heart that will sustain you in the fire. The word is holiness. Over this Lenten season, I'm going to be speaking about holiness. The title of our series is Unleashing Holy Freedom. And there's a number of reasons why I want to preach this series and some good reasons why I shouldn't. While I enjoy a challenge, I do not need a challenge, and speaking on holiness is definitely a challenge. It tends to be a topic that is not spoken about much, with the exception of, well, holy cow, you know, something like that. But other than that, you don't really hear about holiness in our culture. Holiness is just not on people's radar. When it is talked about in our culture, it's used as a derogatory term. Who wants to be holier than thou? When it surfaces, it surfaces the the worst of how the church has behaved in recent years. Holiness poorly understood turns into legalism. Holiness poorly preached is guilt-inducing. And if you grew up in a legalistic or guilt-inducing church, the topic of holiness may trigger you. Now, I could try to exchange the word holiness for something else and talk about something different than holiness. But here's the thing. I think God likes his name, Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. So we can't change the word, so it might be best that we grapple with and understand what it means to be holy. In spite of these reasons, I'm going to preach this series, Unleashing Holy Freedom. The first reason I want to do that is that holiness is fundamental to discipleship, and I am committed, and as a church, we are committed to fostering disciples that are deeply connected to Christ. Holiness is part of that process. As your pastor, as your spiritual coach, I want you to live your best life, and you will not be able to do that without holiness. There is a freedom that comes in holiness that allows you to move through life joyously. There's a strength in holiness that allows you to move through the fires undamaged. There is a quality of holiness that unleashes the power of God in your life. Last and probably most important reason that I want to preach on holiness is that I sense that that is what God would call us to focus on in this season of Lent. Free Methodist of Canada is updating its mission statement, and the tagline is Unleashing Holy Freedom, so it dovetails nicely with this series. So I hope you'll stick with me through this Lenten series. If you happen to be away for a Sunday, I would encourage you to pick up what you missed on either the podcast or on YouTube. I'll upload the manuscripts to the website. Today is just kind of an introduction and an overview of holiness. And I want to talk to you about three aspects of holiness. First aspect of holiness is character. There are three things that a person needs for success. Dr. Henry Cloud, a well-known psychologist in his book Integrity, says that there are three things that a person needs to experience success in their life. One is that you need a core set of competencies. You need to be good at what you do. You can only fake it for so long. But there are a lot of people who are good at what they do, but they don't really get to be significantly successful. They're good at their job. They may be happy or not, fulfilled or not. But if you want to be hugely successful, then you need to possess a second ability. You need to become an alliance builder. A person who is able to go past networking with people, he or she is able to form mutually beneficial relationships. If you have the ability to create alliances with the people around you and help get them on board and help you with what you're doing and you help them with what they're doing, that's the next step of being successful. But there's a third thing that you need for success, and there is no shortage of brainy people who are really good at what they do. There are a lot of people who are good at building alliances. But if you're truly going to be successful, to use Dr. Cloud's words, you have to have the character not to screw it up. I've known some people whose competency rose above the level of the character, and it didn't end well for them. You see, character is something that comes from the inside, something that flows out of the heart. It's something that God wants to develop in you. Character is an aspect of holiness. Now, you can be a good person of character, you can be a person of good character without being holy, but you cannot be holy without being a person of good character. You can be a person of good character without being holy, but you cannot be holy without being a person of good character. None of us like people who have a holier-than-thou attitude. But I want to hang around people who have excellent character. None of us like to be around people who are pharisaical or judgmental or lemon-sucking sticklers for the rules kind of people, but all of us want to be around people who are truly generous from their heart and joyful and truthful and yet discreet. We want to be around people who have integrity, and people who are loyal. One of the devil's tricks has been to have the word holy associated with things that are negative. After all, I don't want to be holy if it means becoming a legalistic, pompous, pious, judgmental fool. But that's not what holiness is. Not true holiness, anyways. Now, there's a lot of places in our world that understand that character counts. Ethics matter. Integrity matters. We want to work with people who don't lie, who cheat, steal. Now, our world is running away from character. Increasingly, people are functioning off the paradigm that if I can get away with it, it's all right. And a lot of people are have been living that way for a while. But if you want to move forward in this world, be a person of character. Dr. Cloud says, who a person is will ultimately determine if their brains, talents, competencies, energy, deal-making abilities, and opportunities will succeed. Here's what you need to know. God is committed to building your character. God's committed to building your character. All the way through Scripture, we are called towards good character. Here's what the psalmist says. Psalm 15, verse 1. The Lord who may dwell in your secret tent. Lord, who may dwell in your secret tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is right, who speaks truth from their heart, whose tongues utter no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, who casts no slur on others. If you want to succeed in life, build a character that's good. If you want to walk with God, and you want God to walk with you, build a character that's good. Now, there's a second aspect of holiness. The second aspect of holiness is holiness of heart. All the way through Scripture, we have this idea of a changed heart, a holy heart, a heart that's full of love and connected together. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And may the Lord make you your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before our God, our Father, and when our Lord Jesus comes again with his holy people. Paul's saying, love people, and as a result, may your hearts be strong, blameless, and holy. I have a fairly clear vision of what I want to become. I want to be a person who is able to love people deeply from the heart. I want to be able to walk into messy situations and walk out of messy situations with a heart full of peace. I want to live out of the hope that I find in Christ. Not just optimism or wishful thinking, but a hope that deals with the present realities head on while knowing that this is not all there is. I want to have the kind of heart that repels despair and moves past discouragement. I want to have the kind of heart that handles the reality that life is not always safe, but there's more to life than what we can see. I want to live out of a place in my heart where I know that God knows, God sees, God understands, and eventually he will move so that evil is thwarted and good will prevail. I want a heart that is full of faith. Over the years, when I have found that when I am unable to love people deeply, or when I'm not walking in peace or hope, when I'm tempted and move towards despair and discouragement, I've discovered it's a holiness issue. I found that when my fear is bigger than my faith, it's a holiness issue. To go back to the building metaphor, we're building a spiritual structure. And when I'm unable to live out of my heart and love people the way I want to, if I look deep enough, I'll see that there's some structures in my heart, beams that are rotting, foundations that were poorly installed. There will be places where there is darkness, where there should have been a window with light shining through. When I'm unable to live out of my heart well, it's a holiness issue. See, husbands, how you love your wives will be affected by your holiness. Wives, how you love your husbands will be affected by your holiness. How you love your kids and your friends and your co-workers will be affected by your holiness. How you love your enemies, that's profoundly affected by your holiness. Holiness, when understood well, is not an abstract idea. It affects how we live in this world. It affects the depths of our relationships that we cultivate in this world. It affects our perception of our place in this world. It has a way of determining whether our hearts will hope or despair in this world. Holiness of heart matters. And if God allows you to see your heart clearly, you will get this truth deeply. There's a third aspect of holiness, holiness of spirit. This is intimately connected with holiness of heart. In fact, I could have put these two aspects together, but I think it'll be clear if I separate them. Our holiness comes from the holiness of God. Listen again to Isaiah's vision, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraph, those are angels, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, couldn't look at God. With two wings that covered their feet, they couldn't stand before God. With two wings, they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voice, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," Isaiah cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, and with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Can you see it in your mind's eye in the throne room of God? There on the throne, high and lifted up, was the Lord. The train of his robe wrapped around the floor of the whole temple. There were angels flying around his throne, and they were so aware of God's holiness that they covered their eyes. And they called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The power of their voice and their proclamation of truth shook the temple. Isaiah, being a witness to that vision, was distraught. See, holiness of spirit is the ability to go into the throne room of God and feel at home there. Isaiah did not have that ability. Verse 5, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah is saying, I'm a sinner, broken God's laws. I've said things that aren't holy, and I live amongst a people who are not holy. If you or I were transported into the throne room of God, we would have to say the same thing, woe is me. For I've said and done things that don't fit the throne room of God. And I live in the midst of a culture where I am bombarded by messages that don't fit in the throne room of God. We look at what happens to Isaiah. Verse 6, "Then one of the seraph flew to me, and with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, with it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.'" All of a sudden, Isaiah was made to be able to be at home in the throne room of God. Having your lips touched with a live coal can't be a pleasant experience. But the angel said to Isaiah, "Your sin, your guilt has been taken away. Your sin has been atoned for." There's no way that any of us can be at home in the throne room of God unless our sin is dealt with in our lives. Now, if you walk with Jesus, you know that initial holiness comes from your first, when you first have a relationship with Jesus. You recognize him for who he is, and you receive him into your heart, and his sacrifice on the cross is applied to your life, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin has been atoned for. This is the initial holiness. Many of you have made that choice to invite Jesus into your life, but some of you who are there feel stuck on your journey. You know, Isaiah had already been journeying with God for a while. He had already sensed the call of God in chapter 1. God has spoken to him. And, you know, if you would have asked the people around him, you know, "Tell me about this Isaiah guy." Well, they would have told you, "Yeah, he's pretty close to God. He's better than most." But when he encountered the throne room of God, there is a deeper work of holiness that had to take place. Here's what I've noticed over the year. I've noticed that people who are at home in the throne room of God are really familiar with the discipline of repentance. The deeper work of holiness is holiness of spirit. Lord, I see my heart, and I need you to take care of what's wrong. Something that amazes me when God shows us our heart is we start to see how deep the stain of sin goes. But what amazes me more is that the grace of God goes deeper, and the power of the cross is stronger than any stain that sin could leave. One of the things I'm thankful both for you and for me is that we don't have to make ourselves holy. We are powerless to make ourselves holy. I do not have the power to change my own heart, but God does. Through the power of the cross, through the work of the Holy Spirit, God is at work to make us holy. The song says, "Holiness is your life in me, making me clean through your blood. I cannot deal with the power of sin in my own life. All I can do is be obedient to God and invite him to do the work." We're going to talk about the process of how this happens over the coming weeks, but let me say that when you came to Jesus, he forgave you your sins, and he gave you robes of righteousness, so that when God looks at you, he sees you as righteous, that you're standing before God. But the Bible says that not only were you saved, but you are being saved. As you walk through this week, you are being saved. There is a progressiveness in the work of holiness in our lives. Theologians would call it progressive sanctification. We walk through life being obedient to the voice of God, and he continues to take the rot out of the beams and install healthy, clean wood. He moves into the structures of our hearts, and he changes them and rearranges them so there's a strength and a depth to our heart that wasn't there before. It allows us to live well in this world. There will be times in your life where you will have special encounters with God. That God, by his Spirit, will fall upon you in just such a powerful way. He washes over you, and he takes you to the next level of your spiritual journey. I hope you have a number of those encounters with God on your journey, where God purifies your heart as you encounter him. There'll be other times where you'll just plod towards the work that God is doing. This morning, the first Sunday of Lent, as we journey with Jesus to the cross, I want to issue an invitation to you to move deeper into holiness, to hear and heed the work of God in your life and cooperate with him as he works in your heart. Over the course of this journey, he may point out some character issues. Or he may point out some heart issues. Yeah. You don't really love deeply from the heart, do you? He may point out some spiritual issues. Over the course of this journey, you'll find that if you want to move forward with Jesus, repentance will be your friend. Repentance is saying, yeah, Lord, as I look at my heart, there's some of my heart that wants to move away from you. Forgive me. Take that piece of my heart and change it. Lord, I choose to turn around and walk towards you. Lord, do whatever it takes to make me at home in your throne room. Do whatever it takes to make me at home where the angels say, holy, holy, holy. I can imagine Asbury being full of people who are walking into the heart of holiness. I can imagine Asbury being a place where God unleashes holy freedom in our lives, where we have hearts so transformed by the work of the cross and the power of the Spirit that as we walk through life, we can open our hearts for loving others, where the stuff that has created blocks in our lives in the past will be healed, and that we would find that there's a depth in our hearts that we haven't had before. I can imagine a place where, as we journey together and love people deeply, that we move away from despair and we live in the hope that Jesus brings us. I can imagine a church that is unleashed through holy freedom. I'm believing that for you. I'm believing that for me. Let me end with Paul's vision of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he's writing to the church in Corinth, and this is just how he introduces his letter. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified is another way of saying for those who have been made holy in Christ Jesus, part of who you are as you receive Jesus into your life. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, there's a calling towards holiness together with those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. We as the people of God are called together to move towards holiness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your holiness. And out of it comes our ability to walk into the life that you want for us. But I pray for Asbury for holiness of character, holiness of heart, holiness of spirit. As we walk towards the cross, Lord, unleash us into holy freedom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.